Soon will come that hour when with mighty power Christ will come in splendor and will judgment render with the faithful sharing joy beyond comparing. And so Jesus promises us in Mark chapter 13, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake. What I say to you, I say to all. Stay awake." This is God's word. Please be seated. How are you at waiting? You know, if there's a long checkout line at the store, I'm one who always is looking to switch lines, see if I can get into a shorter line. And I can always attest, I mean, I will testify to you, it almost never works, right? Did you actually know that there are actually studies on line switching? Probably funded by your tax dollars and by the government. But there are studies, apparently, that actually show that switching lines will usually result in a longer wait. And in fact, if you switch lines, the chances of your wait being longer are directly proportionate to the number of checkout lines that are available. So for example, if there are four checkout lines available and you switch lines, odds are 4-1 that you're going to wait longer than if you'd have just stayed put. Or if there are 7 checkout lines, odds are 7-1 that you will have a longer wait if you switch. Wish you'd have known that for Black Friday. Now, I have to confess, I don't know, you know, how to say this exactly, that when it comes to the issue of waiting, that's one of those areas of life in which God has particularly blessed me with an opportunity for growth. I'm one of those people, you know, that if I see ahead of me that the road becomes a corridor of brake lights, I don't know, I get a little bent out of shape about that. Or if I go to a restaurant and the parking lot is full, I'm ready to turn right around and get on out of there and maybe suggest that McDonald's would be better this evening or maybe some restaurant with an empty parking lot. And I know my wife is over there thinking and everyone else in the car, you know, there's a reason restaurant parking lots are empty. But alas, waiting is always, it's just a part of life, isn't it? We wait to hear if we got the job, to hear the test result. We wait to hear the teenager come home or to see if the other shoe is going to drop. We wait for the sermon to end. But there is a more insidious kind of waiting to which I hope none of us will ever fall prey or victim. It's a toxic kind of waiting that I remember from a story that I heard years ago. It goes like this. There was a little boy who could not wait to get to high school because it seemed to him that the high school kids had all the fun. But once he finally got to high school, he noticed that the college kids, like his older sister, were having even more fun than he was, and he couldn't wait to get to college. Well, he got to college, and that didn't last all that long, and it would seem to drag on, and he got tired of all the homework and the assignments, and he couldn't wait to graduate and to get out of school and to get a job and make some money. Finally, he graduated, got a job, and worked at his job for a while, and it seemed to him as though the people who were really happy in life were the ones who had a spouse and a family and maybe even a dog, and he couldn't wait to have a family. But once he got married, he had 2 children and a mortgage and a dog. He started to envy those couples whose children had gone away to college. They had so much more time for one another, and he couldn't wait until the nest would empty out. Finally, his children got off to college. Now he had the burden of a mortgage and of tuition for his 2 children, and it was a heavy debt, and he couldn't wait to get out from under all those financial responsibilities and retire, and then he could really have some fun like all those retirees who moved to Arizona and spend all their time golfing. And finally, yes, he retired. And one day in the early winter of his life, standing there at the tee of the 18th green, at the 18th hole, on a course near his retirement home in Phoenix, and still unable to correct the slice that had been plaguing him all his life, all of a sudden it hit him standing there. What's the point? What's the point? And it's a lot of people come to that. Poor fellow. Like so many others, they've waited all their life for something, and they get around to it, and then it wasn't what they thought it would be, and they wait some more, and they wound up missing the whole point together. In biblical terms, you might say that they had waited upon the wrong thing. Isaiah and the prophets like to use that kind of language, that we wait upon something. Isaiah said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And that idea of waiting is a very strong theme in the Scriptures. Psalm 32, the psalmist cries out, "How long, O Lord? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart?" Isaiah longed for the day when God would tear open the heavens and he would come down and his justice would prevail and evil would be avenged. Psalm 119, "How long must your servant endure?" That's what's great about those psalms. We've all prayed prayers like that at difficult times in our lives, when we were waiting for God to do something. "Come and save us," as the psalmist liked to pray. Just yesterday, so I was getting ready to go to the hospital to go up and see Carl, who was so severely injured. It had been a tough couple of weeks, and I think as I was getting ready, I let out a big, long sigh, and my daughter picked up on it, and she knew what was behind that sigh. What was behind it was Dorothy and Dave and Bob and now Carl. And then with Carl, I got to thinking back, of course, about Matt and Stephanie and Ryan. And it just gets to you sometimes. And that prayer of the psalmist was my prayer. How long? And my daughter said, "When is it going to end? When is it going to end? How long, Lord, do we have to endure this?" But here's the thing about waiting. And trust me, from a person who doesn't always do the waiting the best. Here's the thing about waiting. Waiting will always be a major issue in our lives. For all of our lives. It's the way it is. Right now, my wife is taking notes so she can repeat these words the next time to me when I get impatient. She's going to say to me, "Remember when you said waiting will always be a major issue in our lives? So get used to it." Get used to it. Because God has made waiting to be a vital part of His plan for our salvation. Waiting has a way of instilling in us a yearning, a desire for something so much better. So, since we have to wait anyway, let's make sure that we're not waiting that toxic kind of wait that's going to leave us standing on the 18th hole in the winter of our lives wondering what was the point. Let's wait on the one who's going to deliver us, who's going to set us free from our misery, the one whose promise is sure, the one who says, "I'm coming." They'll see the Son of Man coming in clouds and with great glory and power. And then he will send out the angels and he will gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. This present order of things, with all of its pain and its tears and its heartache, with all the lying and the crying and the dying, is coming to an end. And that is not scary news for us, to think that the stars are going to fall and the sun is going to go out when the Son of Man returns. That's not scary. All that means is that Jesus is conquering over all the gods of all the other people. And He's coming to to put an end, to answer our prayer, O Lord, how long? How long do we have to put up with this? His coming again is great good news for those of us who have loved His appearing. It's not good news for those who hate Him, but it's good news for us. We wouldn't want this miserable existence of ours to continue forever any more than Adam would have wanted to eat from the tree of life and sustain his misery forever. God was actually gracious to Adam when he barred Adam from paradise and from eating from that tree of life, so that at least Adam's misery could have an end. And God is just as gracious to us in assuring us that our misery is going to have an end too. On the day when the angels go out to the four corners of the world, on a day when He comes with clouds and with great glory, and the angels gather in all the elect from around the world and bring them home. When that happens, we do not know. That's so clear, isn't it? But that's not what's so important. What's important is that while we wait for this present order to pass away, we have something that is solid and sure and strong and steadfast. My word will never end. That word of God, whether it's in a sermon or in a devotion or in a Bible study, that word enables us to wait and to wait well and to wait upon the right thing. The complete fulfillment of every promise that God has made to us through His crucified and risen Son. And listen to the glorious vision of that great day that awaits us from Revelation chapter 25. You want something to wait for? How about this? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." Jesus' words in our gospel reading today are a strong caution to us as Christians as we enter what is probably the most hectic season of the year. We are vulnerable to spiritual sleepiness and lethargy. Because the outward secular Christmas, which is now in full swing, can fool us into the false sense that we are celebrating the incarnation of God's Son, when in fact what we are celebrating is our culture and consumerism. Be on guard, He says. Keep awake as you wait. Keep awake, for you do not know when that time will come. Or else He may find you asleep when He comes suddenly. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Stay awake. A man stands at the 18th hole in the early winter of his life, wondering, what was the point? Let's pray. Come save us, O Lord, from arriving at the end, having missed the point. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.